Hi, this is Mish Hancock, and you are listening to Mishmash, a place where I get to talk to the weird, wacky, wonderful people of this world, people I adore and want to know more about. Today, my guest is JJ Kirkpatrick. JJ is the owner of Mitchell Blackwood Productions, which helps entrepreneurs, startups, and small businesses tell their story in order to reach the next level of success. Hooray.
That's right.
Hi, JJ.
Hi,
How
Mish.
Are you?
Great. Thanks for having me.
We have known each other for quite a while now, and we have way fun together, and I love your wife, and I got to be on her podcast.
You did. You did.
But you've been doing this video amazing production for a long time.
Yeah, I actually started when I was 17. My first professional production was 17. I taped a teacher's sister's wedding.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And I've been doing it ever since. And I actually made projects in high school that were a lot of the same types of things that I do now. I was interviewing kids back then the same way that I do now.
Oh,
and then kind of documenting
gosh.
Their lives.
Found your calling so young. That's awesome.
Yeah, and then went away from it and then back.
Oh, when did you go away?
Well, so I went to film school and then I was working in the film industry for a few years. And then around that time, everybody was kind of exiting the film industry for tech businesses. Because this was 99, lots of
the
internet.
Right.
And you're working a lot less, much better environment, usually double or triple the pay from the entertainment industry.
Makes sense.
And so I had an opportunity to walk out there, but I end up keeping my feet in. So that's another long story.
Well, we can do some long. We can do shortened versions of long stories. So when it comes to video, I mean, I know a little bit about of some of the projects you've done that have been so interesting. But over the years, what were some projects you were like, this is so cool that I'm doing this right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, I like more the documentary type projects, mm-hmm. you know, things that tell a story. I recently completed a documentary project on the construction company KCI, which used to be Closter Construction.
Okay.
And so they celebrated their 100th year, and a good friend of mine is the president, and he asked me to make a video, and a lot of them didn't even know the history. So it was really cool to see they started building houses.
Mm-hmm.
They built St. Anthony's. They did the concrete on that Edward Jones building in De Pere. They do all kinds of bridges. They did the new interchange on 40, you know, from the 90s.
So wow.
Just seeing all kinds of different stories and then just how the different family members came and went and how my friend who's the president, he was always kind of groomed to be that role.
Right.
But it got accelerated when one of their owners passed away suddenly.
Oh, okay.
So it was, you know, things like that. I just love those stories. And so I'm doing a lot of online courses now as well. And I'm starting to do a lot more legacy videos. And that's really what I enjoy doing now, where you just interview a person who's hopefully senior in age.
Right.
And just recapping everything that they've been through. And to me, that's like a movie. I'll sit there and I'll talk to that person, you know, over the course of one or several days.
How cool.
Really cool.
Did you ever hear about the person that they did a legacy video about their mother, I believe, and then put a QR code on the gravestone so that people could get the QR code and learn about the mother's life? And I'm like, that's so cool. You know what I mean? And it, I mean, what a fun way of, you know, telling the story of this person that you just don't know. You see the gravestone, you're like, that's a person's name and when they came to Earth and when they left Earth, but their whole story.
Yeah, and I think that I found that, you know, you think of my own parents, I only know them from the time that I was maybe 5 or 6 years old.
Right.
I don't really know what their history was like. And I was able to capture that for one of Cynthia's clients. And it was just, you know, transformative, where when her kids watch it, they don't even know that we've done it.
Oh, wow.
And that's part of the surprise, and that we'll have this amazingly detailed history that they'll be able to go back and say, that's how mom grew up. That's this story. You know, ask about their first boyfriend or something like that. Things that you don't really ever think to talk about. And
right.
That really paints a picture of who that person is.
And then, you know, I mean, I'm at the age now where I'm starting to say to my parents, I mean, I want to start asking them questions like, fill in some of the blanks for me. You know, I don't remember this. I don't remember that. Like, fill in these blanks for me, because I feel like there's just parts of my childhood that I want to know more about. Or what was your thoughts about me when I did this, you know? I think that it's all part of, you know, we go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth with our histories, but that history can teach you so much about the person you become. The things you know, as you and I both know, heal. There's things we want to heal in our histories. And then there's things that we can also look at our ancestral line and think, let's not do that anymore. You know, let's cut that one off, because we want the future generations to move past all of that. And it's just a beautiful thing to have those actual stories and to share with everybody. And kids love it. Kids want to know about what their mom and dad were like when they were kids. It's part of the talking to the grandparents. It's, what did my mom do? What did my dad do? You know?
But I found that they'll tell me things, and this has been something that's been also ubiquitous throughout my life, is someone will always tell me things that I shouldn't either hear, or they shouldn't really trust me with, or even, you know.
But they should.
Maybe.
Because you're trustworthy.
Yes.
And you're very thoughtful in your process. And so that's an awesome thing to have, that people can trust you to say that. And I'm going to guess that they're saying that to you because it's a safe space and they want their children to hear this at some point, but they don't feel comfortable saying it directly to them.
Yeah, I think there's an element of that. And I think there's also just an element of, I've been doing it so long, just knowing what question to ask when, to pull out that emotion. And, you know, in some ways, you're almost setting them up to set that stage for that big crescendo. And that's what I really enjoy about it. But yeah, I think part of it is, no one's ever asked them these questions before. And in this sequence,
right.
And they start to have revelations right there in front of you on camera. And it's just an absolutely priceless thing for the families.
That's so cool. And you learn so much. I mean, I'm just thinking, you personally, through doing documentaries, you know, and then through human experiences, I mean, what a benefit that you get to learn, right?
Yeah.
That's why I do this podcast. I get to learn so much about the people I love, people that I want to know. It's just, to me, it's like such a blessing to get to do it.
Yeah, I would pay them to sit and talk, because it really is. I mean, you hear about so many, you know, either tragedies or great triumphs. There's so many things that they tell you that you wouldn't believe it if you saw it in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just a person that lives next door to you. You would never know they've had some of these struggles in their life. So that's one thing I just really enjoy about doing it. I love the interview. Like, if that's all I could do all day, that's what I would do, and just pull that out. And then I have to do the editing and the shooting out of necessity.
Then there's that part. I know. There's always the part lifting. That we're like, okay, I got to do this part. Yeah. Yeah. I once read that Steven Spielberg was at a place where he no longer has to do all that, where he just is the idea guy and making sure that everything. And I was like, that's a place to be, right? You just get to be the idea person and do the fun part. And then other people do the part. You used to be like, oh, okay, now I got to edit this.
Yeah. And I think that I kind of came to that same realization a long time ago. From early in school, I loved to create, you know, projects, whether it's, if we had to do like a book report, I would do a play or a video or something like that.
Oh, even how cool.
Like at 12 with the VHS decks, you know, deck to deck.
Oh my gosh, how fun that is.
And, you know, so to get there, you always have to write. You have
right.
to write the idea and then execute it. And it wasn't until later in life, it's like, I don't really like the execution. I wish someone else would do that. You know, I'm
yeah,
on a
right.
film set. I spent a lot of money to go to film school and realized right away, I hate this.
Where did you go to film school?
New York University.
Oh, nice. Do you like living in New York?
I loved it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You think you would still like it?
You know, I was broke and 18.
I hear that a lot about New York, actually.
No, I mean, it was great because on any given night, you could go to any bar with your friends, for instance, and that you could meet somebody there that takes you to any other place in the city. You know, there's a time where we just met with some friends. They knew somebody else that was there. And all of a sudden, like an hour later, we're at the apartment of the people that own the Blue Man Group. And
what?
We're just hanging out in this place all night, and it was catered food and all this, just this amazing party. They had a whole floor of an apartment building.
Oh, whoa. And
yeah, it was like, this, that's like the story that really encapsulates anything could happen on any given night. And that's what I loved about it. And, you know, having to make $20 last for your night.
How did you meet anyone else in New York that was really interesting?
You know, I was in the film business, and there'd often be either people in our office, or if we made a film and we did a wrap party, we would, you know, they would be there. But it was kind of taboo in that world to go and fan out like that.
Yeah,
that wasn't really what we did.
It is kind of taboo everywhere, isn't it? But like, it's, I mean, in the Midwest, it's really hard because we don't just see celebrities and people walking down the street, you know what I mean? And so if we see one, we're kind of like, what, giddy, oh my gosh, you know. But
yeah, it can be tacky. But I did have a moment. So there's a film that our company made called Happiness. Mm-hmm. And it's a really dark comedy by Todd Solondz, and it stars Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh wow, he's amazing.
He's amazing. And he, his role in this is just, if you have a sick sense of humor, it's great. And we saw him, and me and this other coworker of mine, and we didn't fan out, but we just did his lines from the movie hammered. And he was so gracious about it.
I have to watch this now, because honestly, dark humor is my favorite, which is weird for me to say, because I know I'm like also woo happy and everything. But there's something about dark humor. I'm very attracted to that genre of movie.
You'll like Todd's movies then. He's one step over the line.
Okay. Yeah, because some of them do kind of go like, ooh, wait, little too far for me. You know what I mean? But I don't know why. I just like those movies.
Yeah.
I think you have to be able to see through it, because some people don't see through the humor. Like they kind of get really knocked off balance with it.
Yeah, I think that's his goal. So you watch it, you'll see, and you'll understand probably the lines we ended up saying to Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh my gosh, how fun. Amazing guy. Yeah. That, there's a tragic story.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So what else, Jade? I mean, you know, you do this with, you've got your wife's podcast. What are you working on right now? Oh, and can we talk about somebody we're working with together?
Yeah, of course.
Why the Face? They're so interesting. Yeah. So Why the Face? Explain in your words.
So Why the Face is there's a doctor in town, Dr. Todd Frisch and his wife, Linda, and they ran a clinic called, I think he had a chiropractic clinic, but then he has this other product called Shape Reclaimed, which is an anti-inflammation health product that also helps people shed weight. And one of the things that he'd been studying, you know, for 40 years is the ancient art of traditional Chinese face reading. Mm-hmm. So looking at your face, you know, noticing the shapes, noticing the lines, noticing where things appear on your face, the size of things. And he's able to give, he would use the term diagnosis, but he's able to clinically say, well, because of this, that's probably a kidney deficiency. This
right.
is that.
Yeah.
This is your personality. And anyone that's had it done with him will see that it is remarkably accurate.
It's insane how accurate it is. And you're like reading your report, because I got to do one. And you're like reading your report and you're like, yeah. And then the other thing that I really learned through it was, and not that I wouldn't do this, but that he was just very much like, don't be doing the Botox. Don't put Botox in these, don't do fillers here. You know, like he was just like, don't do that. And I'm sure for reasons of health and to also like, let your face be your true story. Like, don't hide your true story. Be your real story. I mean, that's kind of a cool thought.
Yeah. And one thing he probably hasn't told you is that your face will change over time as well. So, you know, even the shape. So you could be a tree at one point, but let's say you have to be, let's say you're a tree when you're working for a company and then you go out on your own, your face can sometimes narrow into that king shape.
Really?
Yeah. So it's strange to see those kinds of things change over time.
I'm a tree face. Ah. I'm still tree face. That's what he told me. He was like, you're a tree face. Means I'm a good mom and boss.
And take care of others.
And I take care of others. I do that. It's true. So it's very cool. And he said it was very spiritual, very on point with that one.
Yeah.
It was really interesting to just read about it. And I was very happy that he said any of the the potential deficiencies, that I was doing what I needed to do to take care of those. So yay, Mish, but also, wow. So we're, so we're going to be, you're going to be seeing more about this out there.
Yeah. So that's WTFwhytheface.com is the URL. And what I do for him is he teaches this to medical practitioners. He teaches it to HR representatives so they can evaluate if this person across from them is a good candidate for whatever job.
Sports teams
are looking, as well as maybe putting it into dating apps in some fashion.
Wow. So
I build courses, online courses for clients, and I have three of those that are going right now. One is Dr. Todd with Why the Face. I'm doing Top Gun Teamwork with Rob Cujo-Teschner.
Oh, he was on here before. I love him. He's amazing.
He is amazing.
He really is amazing.
So he's teaching businesses. He was a Top Gun pilot instructor in the Air Force, and he is teaching businesses how to apply the planning and debriefing methods of the Air Force to business.
Cool.
So we've taped courses for that. We've taped some workshops for that. And then he's kind of got a hybrid approach where he will have you actually execute those debriefs with your team on your own, and then join a call on Friday with other people in the class
did
the same. So it's a real hands-on. So he kind of looks at it like the simulator type of situation where you're flying the plane, but no one's going to die.
Right.
So
yeah.
you got him in the back pocket. And so that's Top Gun Teamwork from VMAXGroupLLC.com. And then another one I'm working on, which it's been a good project in terms of working with great people. They're doing great work, but it's on human trafficking. So
that's a tough one.
It's teaching law enforcement how to recognize the signs of human trafficking, mm-hmm. how to prevent it, how to basically understand that entire world.
Yeah.
And it is so much worse than any of us would have ever known. And so that, in many ways, I wish I didn't have this project, because I wish I didn't know these things.
Yeah, right.
But it's bad. And, just finished a short course it's Gateway Alliance Against Human Trafficking. It's the name of the organization. Their website is gahtmo.org, which is GAHTMO.org. And they just finished one on human trafficking in indigenous populations,
yeah,
Indians. It's
right.
10 times worse. The stories there are horrendous.
Yeah.
And there's no justice ever.
And underreported, and no one's really working on this issue. It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking.
It's terrible.
Okay. Earth school is hard. It's so hard. All right. So tell people where they can learn more about you.
Okay. So my website is mitchellblackwood.com. You can go there and connect with me there. I'm not on socials by choice. I try not to do that. I just don't find it to be healthy. But I do have a YouTube account, and so you can see some of my work there.
Very cool. You ready for some wacky questions?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
That's what I came for.
Okay. This is like one of my favorite parts. My first question for you is, if you could create a show for Netflix, what would it be?
This is easy. Okay.
Oh, good.
So the world of professional wrestling is like the true story of how this thing came about. It is like The Godfather meets, whatever. Like it's like The Sopranos with other actions, like the drugs, the mafioso element, the stories of like bar fights and things like that. I think there is multiple seasons.
And also, like, not taking care of those wrestlers like they should be taken care of. I mean, I feel like they're kind of a commodity, like it's just, yeah.
Yeah, less so now, but if you look at like the 60s and 70s and 80s, like just if you, so one of the, you asked me people that I've met, this is a very long story, but I had an opportunity to hang out all night with Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan.
Really?
Yeah, in 2008. So there was this weird eBay auction. I won it, and I flew to North Carolina, saw Ric Flair's son wrestle. And then we hung out with him. We rode limos with him around North Carolina, and he got us so drunk that we missed our flight. Or I missed my flight back home the next
day.
But, just the lifestyle that he led alone is just crazy. And that would make, it would make amazing content for Netflix. You could do different decades of pro wrestling and just to see the rising stars and how that would go. That would be an easy Netflix layup with sex, drugs, rock and roll, action, all the things that you
all
could possibly.
Stuff. And you it's heard real, people, first Netflix
real people. Real people, real stories.
We're going to get this going. I don't know if I could be in it. I'm not much of a wrestling type.
You don't have to be.
Okay. I just want to, can I come watch film?
Yeah.
All right, good. All right. This one is funny. If aliens came to Earth and you were the first person that they met, how would you explain life on Earth to them?
I would say, you guys don't even want to know. Let's get out of here. Let's go back to your place.
There you go.
This place is beyond repair. Wait.
Can I come with you? Can bring my family? I got some friends that would be awesome to hang out with you. Yeah, it's tempting, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've often thought of a kind of a reverse of that question. If you had the opportunity to go somewhere else.
Right.
And to never be seen again, never see your family again, would you take the chance? And I think I would.
I think I'd be very tempted. It's like Cocoon, which you can't stream. Have you tried to stream Cocoon? It is, you cannot stream it. I don't know why. I don't know what weird little world it lives in that it's streaming nowhere. Because I wanted to watch it one day, and there's lots of people like, why can't we stream Cocoon? But you know, that was the thing, right? It was like, we're going to with the aliens and we won't be back, but we'll be fine. And you're like, wow, that's a tough decision to make, but I get it.
Yeah.
Because Earth school, again, really hard.
And I feel like you could get hit by a bus tomorrow and then you miss this opportunity to see what nobody else can see. So
exactly. I think I would
go
planet.
And be in an alien zoo for them.
Yeah,
you feed
right.
me every day.
Feed me, hang out with me. Let me travel this wherever I'm at, whatever it looks like. I mean, it'd be awesome.
Yeah. So
very cool.
That's my answer to that.
I love it. All right. So kindness. This podcast is all about kindness. Just share with us something you've witnessed, received, given as of late with kindness or just whenever.
You know, I love to help people and I this has gone back forever. So there's a lot of behind the scenes things I'm doing with people that I wouldn't want to break confidence on, but I'm supporting a lot of different people who are struggling with different life challenges. Mm-hmm. And so I get so much joy from that. And, I used to be so invested in the outcome that I get mad if the person didn't, because
yeah.
I could, you know, you can see where you have friends that are like just on the precipice of getting everything they want in life. And then mm-hmm. they take steps back.
Yeah.
And that used to bother me. So now I still love to help people. I love to be that ear that someone can reach out to. And just can listen to their story, ask them questions that can maybe propel them in a different place. And so I'm doing a couple of those right now. And then I just, if there's anybody that is really looking to do something big and they're missing that piece of video or storytelling or something, I try to donate some of my time to those mm-hmm. things. There's people in our lives that you know that.
Yes,
that,
which is awesome. Yeah.
Because I love to see other people's dreams come true. Seth Godin said that if you want to make your own dreams come true, help other people make their dreams come true and it'll just work for you. And I get so much just fulfillment out of that.
That's beautiful, JJ. I know you do. And thank you because I know your kind heart. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome. Well, that was easy, right?
Yeah. Are we finished already?
I mean, do you have anything else you want to make sure people know?
What about you? What does everybody need to know about you?
Don't open up that one. Well, I would say right now some interesting things are going on in my world as far as, in the spiritual realm and in the connecting realm. And I feel better connected than ever. And I, like you, and my heart is just so there to help people, especially with healing. Because, again, life is hard and we come here and we go through it. And at some point you open up your eyes and go, I gotta not do this, be this, this, I don't want this in my life. I don't want to feel certain ways. How do I move past that? And I feel that my life has been that journey for a long time. And now at this place in my world where I'm an older, wiser being, and I've opened my world up to connecting, I'm getting ready to share that. I don't know what it looks like yet. I am in a place of just sitting with it and being with it, but we'll get there.
That sounds exciting.
I know. So it'll be beautiful. I love it. Thank you for asking, JJ.
You're so welcome.
Awesome. Well, I know we'll see you again soon because we hang out a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for being on my podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This I think the second one I've ever been on, so I appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun. I'm usually on the other side.
Yeah. Okay, we got to get you on this side more. Thank you, JJ.
You're so welcome.
And everybody out there, you've been listening to Mishmash Podcast. Go be kind, be loving, and think about leaving a legacy in video. That's a cool idea. I love it. See you all later. Mwah.